trial currently the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. The Pharisees and Sadducees approached and tested him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be good weather because the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today will be stormy because the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to read the appearance of the sky, but you can't read the signs or times. An evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." Then he left them and went away. The disciples reached the other shore, and they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus told them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They were discussing among themselves, "We didn't bring any bread." Aware of this, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves? You do not have bread. Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you collected? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many large baskets you collected? Why is it you don't understand that when I told you, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees,' it wasn't about bread?" Then they understood that he had not told them to beware of the leaven in bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Maybe see it. I have a funny thought for that. You know. Did the Pharisees and Sadducees have a bread shop? If they were thinking about bread, we need to go to the Pharisees' bread shop or the Sadducees and just... Sunday sermon, we looked at the previous verses in chapter 15, and we looked at Jesus being north of Galilee in the area of the Decapolis, preaching and ministering in the Gentile area, and he was healing all the sick that got brought to them, and they were with him listening for a period, and as it says, of 3 days, and Jesus has had compassion on the crowd. And we talked about Sunday how Jesus has compassion on our situation. He knows our needs, but sometimes we need to remember that we cannot supply the needs that we have or the needs that other people have. And so he told the disciples, "These people are my field." And the disciples looked at their own resources and said, "Well, we can't do it." That's a key for Christian growth, is understanding we cannot do it ourselves. The disciples couldn't do it themselves, and they needed to understand that. Otherwise, they might take credit. And Jesus said, "Well, what kind of resources do you have?" He said, "Just 7 little pieces of bread and a few fish." He said, "Have them sit down." And they sat down, and Jesus broke the bread and gave it to the disciples to give to those in the crowd. It says there were 4,000 men plus women and children. The disciples had a role to play. First, they needed to understand that everything is coming from God, and they're just passing along what's been given to them. And that's true for us also. We need to remember what we provide other people is what God has given us. We need to provide the message that he has given us of how to have eternal life to all we encounter. And not everybody is going to be receptive to that message. It does say that they all ate and were satisfied. All those present on that mountainside, the 4,000 men plus women and children, received what had come from Jesus. But, chapter 16, here we got some people that don't really want to get something from Jesus. They want to try to test him and trap him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees generally did not get along. They were two different religious groups. The Pharisees would be the fundamental, legalistic, deny-yourself person. And the Sadducees would be the liberal, I'll get as much as I can out of this life because there's nothing else after this. The Sadducees denied that there was a resurrection of the dead. They denied that there were angels or demons. They denied a lot of things in Scripture, and their focus was amassing wealth in the name of being a religious leader. The Pharisees, they had a stack of rules that they added on to what God said, and we see many times when they were more upset with Jesus ignoring their rules than their ignoring of Scripture. But these group came together, and it says they were going to test Jesus. They were not seeking the truth. There are many that come looking, they say, for an answer, but they really don't want one. They just want to look, find holes in it, trying to find problems with Christians. They demanded a sign from heaven. Now, that's quite interesting. Jesus has been going around healing every disease in Israel, and they want a sign. But it's not enough that you're healing everybody, that you're making the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. We want a special sign in the heavens. They weren't really looking for a sign in the heavens. They would have still ignored Jesus if he'd given them a sign in the heavens. And Jesus knew their hearts. They claimed to be representatives of God. We have a lot of people in the world today that are claiming to be God's representatives that ignore his Scripture or add their own rules to it. They are typified by these two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus responded to them, said, you know the saying, when evening comes, you say it will be a good weather because the sky is red, and in the morning, the day will be stormy because the sky is red and threatening. I remember the old saying, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morn, sailor take warn. And it's something that's been around, that phrase, where you can look and see what the weather's going to be like tomorrow or today. If you look in the evening sky and it's all red, that's telling us that the bad weather is moving out. But if you see the red sky in the morning, it's telling you bad weather is on its way in. So, sailor's delight, that red sky at night, means tomorrow's going to be good weather. We're not going to be awakened by the thunderstorms tonight. The red sky at morn, you better take your umbrella with you to work, because it's going to be bad weather. Jesus says, you recognize that. You understand that, but why can't you see the signs of the times? Why can't you see the miracles that are being done? Why can't you see the fulfilled prophecy? You are blind, and Jesus has previously called them blind guides. They're blind for several reasons. Let's look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. And verse 19. This is the judgment. The light has come to the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The Pharisees and Sadducees were opposed to the message because they didn't want their true motives being seen. Sometimes also, people are blinded not only by their own evil deeds, their own desire, but by the work of Satan. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan tries to blind people from the truth. And some are blinded because they have rejected God's offer too many times. If we look at Romans chapter 1, it tells us, beginning verse 18, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And look at verse 24. Therefore God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. Verse 26, for this reason God delivered them over. Verse 28, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind. Many times, people have hardened their hearts, and God no longer draws them to his salvation. They said no so many times. And that's the situation the Pharisees and the Sadducees, for the most part, were in. How did Jesus respond to these that are hostile to the gospel, hostile to his truth? He walked away from them. Just like it says in Romans, he gave them over. He stopped trying to keep them. He had shown the example of how their hypocrites in that they can recognize the signs in the sky and tell about the weather, but they don't recognize signs that are portrayed in Scripture. He identified their true desire and their true identity. He said it's an evil and adulterous generation that demands a sign. They are seeking their way instead of God's way. But he said, I will give you a sign, the sign of Jonah. He has given this answer to them before in chapter 12, and it expands it a little bit more there. And they understood what it meant. Look at Matthew 12, beginning in verse 39. He answered them, an evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. When Jesus was crucified, the Pharisees and Sadducees went, and Pilate said, this guy, Jesus said, he's going to rise after 3 days, so let's guard the tomb. No, that would be clear. But they understood what Jesus meant by the sign of Jonah. But then we have another group. We have the group that was hostile to the gospel, the Pharisees and Sadducees. But then you had a group that was open to the gospel, the disciples. They were receptive to God's message. It reminds me of my time when I was in the Navy and I was going through nuclear power training, and that's a year-long process, 6 months in the classroom, 6 months actually working on a reactor. And all of those that were in my group were committed to becoming nuclear power plant operators. We had made that commitment. We were following and learning all the instruction about how to operate a nuclear power plant in the United States Navy, and we were ready to learn how to do it, but we didn't quite fully understand everything. One of the teachers there pointed out our little ID badge, and there was the the Navy seal or emblem of our school there. He said, just push that. That's your I believe button. If you don't understand everything right now, just I believe that what you're saying about how the particles interact to create all this energy and all the things it does, you'll understand it by the time you get through with school, but you're not necessarily going to understand it now. And if you just sit here trying to figure it out in your first few weeks in nuclear power school, you're not going to get any further. Just push, I believe, that's right, you'll understand later. Well, that's sort of how the disciples were. They had pushed the I believe in Jesus button, but they didn't understand all the details, how everything worked out. So when Jesus told them, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they said, we didn't bring any bread. And they had just left the other shore where Jesus had just fed 4,000 men plus women and children. And a little while before, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. They didn't quite get it that Jesus would say, bread, steak dinner, whatever. He could provide all the food they needed. But they were looking at things from a human perspective. We do the same thing in our lives as a Christian. We don't understand everything completely. No one is going to understand everything completely. But God tells us, believe. He's going to work everything out. Sometimes we look at things from a human perspective, too. How are we going to be able to pay all our bills? How are we going to be able to get over whatever is ailing us right now? And we look at things from a human perspective. And we've forgotten, just like the disciples did, the miracles that Jesus has worked in our lives in the past. Too often, we forget to look back and see where we were this time last year, this time 10 years ago, this time 20 years ago, and what God has done in our lives, all the things he has worked out. The disciples forgot, so did we. Sometimes we're like the disciples. We're just focused on the here and now, not the big picture. What did Jesus do in his response that was different? He told the Pharisees and Sadducees that they weren't going to get any more information. But the disciples, he explained and corrected their errors. Said, I'm not talking about physical yeast you put in the bread. And they said, then they understood he was talking about the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. If you think about how yeast works, when you put it in bread, it makes it puff up. So when you cut through a loaf of bread, you see all those holes in it. That's the example of what the yeast has done. It makes it nice and soft. If you have a bread that is without yeast, it's like eating a hard, thick cracker. It's just chewing off a piece of it. I was watching a documentary on some of the bread they took on ships in the 1800s called hardtack. They would make the bread, put it in a vise, press it down, squeeze all the water out, and take that. It would last for months. But it was like eating this gas. It was made more to crumble up and put in something else instead of just taking a bite of it. You had to water it a little bit to get it ready to eat. But Jesus explained the truth to his disciples, corrected their error, reminded them of what he has done in the past. He didn't stop teaching them. because they were open to the truth. Just like us, if we are open to God's truth, He continues to teach us more and more truth each and every day we walk with Him. Jesus has a plan, and He's not obligated to tell us His plan, but He does reveal how He's working to those that are following as we need it. But there is a time, like with the Pharisees and Sadducees, that He stops giving them another chance because they have already said no too many times. Stand for a moment for a closing prayer. Afterwards, we're going to have a brief break, and then we will have a closing prayer. Dear God, thank You that we could be here. I thank You that we are able to worship. I thank You that You have given us correction to our misunderstanding, additional teaching when we need it, and we need it every day, showing us the right way to walk as You pray in our situation. Jesus Christ.